Thanks so much for joining in today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. We're talking with a dentist today about your oral health and hygiene. And our guest is Dr. Tom Reed. He's president of the Wisconsin Dental Association, and he has a practice. He practices at East Grove Dental in Madison. So great to have him with us. And we'll talk with Dr. Reed about the latest technology that can help you keep your teeth clean and your gums vibrant and healthy. We'll also take your questions as well. Maybe you need help finding a new toothbrush. We can help. Or let us know your questions about cavities or gum disease and a whole lot more. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. Dr. Tom Reed, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Larry, good afternoon. Good to be with you, and thank you for the opportunity. I sincerely appreciate it.
You know, it seems you can get really fancy with your dental care products, or maybe you can just rely on the old-fashioned toothbrush and floss. Are those the basic tools you need in order to have a healthy mouth?
You know, absolutely. There is no substitute for good brushing and good flossing as far as keeping your teeth and keeping your gums healthy. I have patients ask me all day long, what is the best toothbrush? And to be perfectly honest, the best toothbrush is the one that works well for you. It's rather intuitive. I see people who do very, very well with manual toothbrushes, and they maintain good oral and dental health with a manual toothbrush. I also see some folks who can benefit from some of the more automatic toothbrushes, whether it's an ultrasonic brush or whether it's an oscillating head brush. There are certainly some benefits to those, particularly in folks that struggle with some arthritic hands or they have trouble gripping a traditional brush. They can certainly benefit from some of those larger handles and just the automatic nature of some of those oscillating heads or some of those ultrasonic head toothbrushes that can be much more beneficial for folks.
I've got one of those oscillating toothbrushes, and I think it goes a minute, and then it makes a noise, and then it keeps going again. And sort of, I can't remember if it's a minute or 2 minutes, but I usually do, I'll do the second one as well. Is it worth? I mean, what about time? How much time should you be spending brushing your teeth?
Yeah, you bring up a good point, is that really I tell all my patients, it's kind of the rules of two. At a minimum, we kind of expect you to brush twice a day, morning and then before bed, and then for 2 minutes at a time. That's one of those other nice features about that brush that you have, Larry, is that it has a built-in timer. So in particular for kids who, and we've all been kids, you know how that is. You kind of rush through your brushing and try to get that done in 10 seconds or less. But what's nice about those automatic toothbrushes is they have those built-in two-minute timers. Some of them are even a little bit more sophisticated and will have 30-second increments. So for the first 30 seconds, you focus on the upper right. And then that next, the timer goes off, and then you focus on the upper left for the next 30 seconds, and then down to the lower left, and then finish with the lower right, each in those 30-second increments. And that works out really nicely for some folks. I would encourage parents, too, who are struggling with kids and just maintaining proper brushing technique and proper behavior. Boy, those brushes can come in real handy. What they're even starting to do with some of the more expensive toothbrushes, and gosh, I think there's a Sonicare toothbrush on the market for over $300 right now. I know it kind of is amazing, right? I don't know that anyone needs a $300 toothbrush, but some of the technology in that is actually linked to Bluetooth. So many of your listeners may have the experience of wearing a sleep monitor watch or a sleep monitor ring and get some biofeedback from that ring or that watch. Well, the same now can be done with your toothbrush. and it somewhat builds in that accountability factor, so that if you're not logging on to the Sonicare app or the Oral-B app or whatever it is, and seeing that, boy, yeah, I did my 2 minutes today and I did it twice a day, it just builds in some good habits. It builds in some good behavioral change.
Richard in Antigo has a question, I believe, for you. Let's go there. Hi, Richard.
Hi, good afternoon. When I was having my teeth worked on, my dentist recommended he had Usenot fluoride rinse in the evening before I go to bed at least three times a week. And then he recommended also having a fluoride treatment, and my wife really didn't like it because it gave it was like a film left on her teeth that really was terrible. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Is there any real reason why I need that fluoride treatment?
Yeah, so Richard, a couple different things there. Certainly the fluoride rinse is absolutely fantastic, and we've known through over 80 years and 3,000 studies that topical fluoride application on teeth is incredibly beneficial for all age groups. In particular, if you have a lot of fillings or a lot of crowns, maintaining those crowns and fillings really is very helpful with a fluoride rinse. Now, it's very specific the way you have to use that fluoride rinse. So what I typically recommend is that people floss and then they brush. And then after they're done brushing, they use that fluoride rinse with it for a good 30 seconds to a minute, and then don't eat or drink afterwards before you go to bed. So you're left with that rinse actually in contact with the teeth, helping remineralize some of the acids and some of the breakdown that had occur during the day, so that you can avoid some cavities around old fillings or old crowns or even new cavities. So that kind of addresses the fluoride rinse. Did you have any questions about that?
No, the rinse I could understand, but what about the fluoride treatment?
Yeah, let's talk about the fluoride treatment. So probably when you were a kid, you remember going to the dentist, and fluoride treatments were these large trays, and it was kind of a goopy fluoride. I use the term goopy because that's clearly technical, but it was kind of a real gel-like fluoride that you would put in these trays, and you would pop them in your mouth for 5 minutes, and then you'd take them out, and those were your fluoride treatments as a kid. Well, we've evolved a little bit to these fluoride varnishes. So what your wife had and what she was describing to you is called a fluoride varnish, where a hygienist or a dentist will actually paint that varnish on your teeth, and it's intended to stay on there for 2, 3, sometimes 4 hours. So indeed, it feels a little sticky. It feels a little goopy. You can still eat and drink after you have it applied, but what we don't want you to do is to brush it off of there. So a lot of times when I apply a varnish here in the office, what I'll tell folks is it's going to feel like you have little sweaters on your teeth for the next couple hours. And that's by intention. That's so that fluoride is sticking to your teeth and really penetrating the enamel and making it stronger and less prone to cavities. So two different things there, the rinse that a lot of people will use and is very, very beneficial, and then the prescription strength fluoride, that varnish that we apply here in the office.
Richard, thank you very much for calling. Just kind of related, I think. I see ads for mouthwashes that claim that they're going to help you with plaque maybe, or other kinds of issues around the mouth. Is there any proven effectiveness to that?
There is, for some. And like all things, it really depends upon which product you're using. The tried and true, and this was invented at the turn of the century, but Listerine. Listerine is genuinely a product that will help prevent gum disease. And it in every single study that it's ever been tested in, Listerine is really, really quite effective. There are other products out there that I would not necessarily recommend that are really nothing short of just flavored water. And it's good to still get the mechanical action of that gargle or that rinsing with that particular type of mouth rinse. But really the therapeutic benefit, the benefit of preventing gum disease, comes from something like a Listerine. There's also a prescription strength mouthwash that you can use. It's called chlorhexidine gluconate. Chlorhexidine gluconate, as I said, it's only available by prescription, whether it's your physician or your dentist. And that's for people with severe gum disease. We can also use it sometimes in people preparing for gum surgeries or for oral surgeries to really help reduce the bacterial load in your mouth so that you heal better. But again, that's more of a prescription strength.
Let's go to Mona in Appleton next. Hi, Mona.
Hi, I just tuned in, so I'm not sure the whole your guest what he's totally covering. But I had a root canal go bad and had it pulled. And it wasn't actually pulled. They had to, while it was still infected, so he had a hard time getting it numbed, but he got it numbed enough and he drilled it all out. And then he found a third root and he got everything but a tiny tip and then he sewed it shut. He told me about it and I'm very concerned that this is going to come back as a problem that I need oral surgery for. It's healing okay. And I still got that little white area and it's slowly closing up, you know, like I can tell it's getting better and better. My mouth is just sore from chewing on the same other side all the time. But yeah. I'm just wondering, it's getting really, oh God, I eat something like a pork chop and I on the other side and my mouth is sore all day. So
what about that root though, Dr. Reed?
Yeah, so Mona, gosh, I'm sorry you're experiencing that and that's never a fun experience. I will tell you, it's not uncommon. Root canals can go bad and can lead to an extraction. I venture to guess you probably had what we call a vertical root fracture in your tooth or a fracture that went all the way through the tooth that we couldn't necessarily tell. I will say we try to get root tips out as much as possible. However, there are instances where root tips can be left in and the body can heal over them quite nicely. I am assuming that your dentist wants to keep a very, very close eye on this. And that's what I would recommend. Not knowing all the details of your situation or of your surgical experience, I don't know, what size the root tip was. Sometimes that's of critical importance. If you're healing over and if your dentist is following up with that carefully, taking appropriate radiographs on at least an annual basis of that area, it could heal up very nicely for you.
Mona, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Dr. Tom Reed, our guest today. Great to have him with us. As we talk about your teeth and your dental health, I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Great to have you along today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at your teeth. Dr. Tom Reed, our guest, president of the Wisconsin Dental Association. It's great to have him with us today. And you can join in. The number's 800-642-1234, or you could email to talk@WPR.org. Let's turn to Lane in Wisconsin Rapids next. Hi, Lane.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. I am wondering, what exactly does impacted wisdom teeth mean? And if you do have that, how do you know if it is something that needs to be addressed or extracted, especially if it hasn't been causing any discomfort or if you've had it if they've been impacted for a long time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Lane, that's a great question. I will tell you, most people are born with four wisdom teeth. Now, not everyone. Some people have no wisdom teeth. Some people have any number variation from zero, and I've seen as many as eight in some folks. So that's really quite a wide range of wisdom teeth. Wisdom teeth, or third molars, are rather leftover remnants of our evolution. When we had larger jaw bones, we had more room for our teeth. Now that we have evolved to have somewhat of a smaller jawbone, most of us do not have room for our wisdom teeth. So that's why we typically will recommend that they be extracted. There are different types of impactions. You can have a tooth that is fully impacted with bone over the top of it, or you can have a tooth that is partially impacted where it's partially or half in the mouth and half still under bone. Both of those can be problems in the long term for you. There was a recent study published that actually indicated people with impacted wisdom teeth have an increased mortality risk. And what that's tied to actually is the increased risk of gum disease around partially impacted wisdom teeth. So for most people, and I will tell you, I have had four of my kids have their wisdom teeth out. And most people in my office, I recommend that they have their wisdom teeth out because, quite frankly, most of us just don't have room for them. So that's a little bit of a short story about wisdom teeth. So any other questions you had for me, Lane?
No, that's all. Thanks for the information.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for calling. Appreciate your call. And Beth in Lac des Flambeaux, we'll go to you. Hi, Beth.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, and thanks for all the great information. I have been using a high-concentration fluoride toothpaste that my dentist prescribed, and I was wondering if I wanted to use it with the fluoride rinse that you had mentioned earlier. Is there an order I should use them in? In other words, should I brush first and then rinse, or should I rinse first and then brush, or rinse at a different time of day? I do this at night before I go to bed. So thank you for your answer.
Yeah, Beth, absolutely. I'm really happy that your dentist, particularly if you're having trouble with cavities, prescribed you an increased strength of fluoride toothpaste. Typically, that product is called Prevident. Clinpro 5000, I think, is also another prescription blend of toothpaste. The type of fluoride used in a prescription toothpaste is 1.1% sodium fluoride. So it's a bit stronger than what you typically see in your over-the-counter toothpaste. Additionally, in that sodium fluoride form, it tends to just help prevent decay a little bit better. Now, you spoke to the order, and I think Richard had a little bit of a similar question. The order that I like to see people use is to brush first and then to use that fluoride rinse afterwards, and then again, not to eat or drink after you use that fluoride rinse. So I hope that answers your question.
There you go, Beth. Thank you so much for calling. E in Madison emailed us. E and her sister are both in their 30s. E goes to cleanings twice a year. Her sister hasn't been to the dentist since she was 14. She says it's too inconvenient and her teeth feel fine. How does E convince her sister to make the time to go in?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I'm sorry that her sister has not been in to see a dentist since she was 14. To be honest, she could be having lots of gingivitis, which is early gum disease. What we tend to see happen is over time, our bodies and bacteria in our mouth produce calculus, our hard deposits on our teeth. Those hard deposits on our teeth, the only way we can get those off of there is by having a skilled hygienist or a skilled dentist remove those hard deposits. Those deposits are filled with bacteria and bacterial toxins, and I bet if E talked to her sister, If her sister flosses, every single time she flosses, she probably sees blood on her floss. You should not have bleeding gums if you have a healthy mouth. And the only way you're going to have a healthy mouth is if a skilled hygienist and or dentist is removing that plaque and calculus buildup that absolutely all of us get, absolutely across the board, all of us get to one form or another. I tend to think I'm a pretty good brusher and flosser, and I will tell you, I get calculus buildup. It's all about self-care. And so I really hope that E's sister would consider listening to her sister and engage in some really good self-care and visit a dentist soon.
And to go along with that, we got an email from Pat. For a male age 50 years old of fairly good health overall, how often should Pat go to the dentist for annual checkups?
Yeah, you know, the old standard twice a year is a really good rule of thumb, every 6 months going to the dentist. Now, there are, quite frankly, people who benefit from going more often. I have some patients I see every 3 months. I have some patients I see every 4 months. On the opposite end of that twice a year, I have some patients I see every 8 months or every 12 months. Those are a little bit more rare. That people can wait 12 months in between visits, but really every 6 months is a good place to start.
Another newish dental technology is, the water pick or the water pick type of appliances. How do they work compared to traditional floss?
Yeah, so there is nothing that is going to replace traditional floss. First of all, it's really, really inexpensive. So you do not need to go and buy a $100 water pick or a $200 water pick. I will say that water picks are a fantastic adjunct to both brushing and flossing, but it is certainly not a substitute for brushing and flossing. The way I like to see water picks used is if people have a tremendous number of crowns or if they have a lot of bridge work or implant work, it's really good for flushing out around that type of dental treatment to really help in addition to flossing, but it is certainly not a replacement for flossing. Now, I have people tell me all day long, boy, I hate to floss, but I'll use my water pick. And if it's water pick or nothing, obviously I'm going to say, okay, well, use the water pick. That's fantastic. And maybe try to start to incorporate flossing once a week, twice a week, three times a week. But really, there's no replacement, Larry, for flossing and brushing.
Sheila in Beloit has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Sheila.
Hi. I had a situation where I had cracked a back molar that had a filling in it, and it was over 4th of July. So I found a dentist locally, was able to get in, and got a crown on it. The crown, when I was using the water pick, came flying off of the tooth. And I went to my old dentist and had it put on again. He said there was no cement on the top of the crown wherever it's supposed to fit. And I'm wondering, how do you find a decent dentist? What is the best way?
Sounds like you have a good one, the second one, anyway, who noticed something. But what about it, Dr. Reed?
Yeah, so Sheila, again, sorry you had that experience. I will tell you, crowns are normally very, very successful, and they're a fantastic way to preserve your natural teeth and just to help you keep your teeth longer. To answer your question, the absolute best way to find a dentist is to listen to your friends and relatives. Get people who you know and trust, and ask them who they see for a dentist. That's one of the best ways. The other way, quite frankly, you can use the Wisconsin Dental Association, and I know many people in Beloit who I could recommend for you, but if you were to call the Wisconsin Dental Association, you can and certainly get recommendations that way. Additionally, the American Dental Association actually offers a product called Find a Dentist. And you can go to ADA.org, AmericanDentalAssociation.org, ADA.org, and actually look at Find a Dentist, put in your zip code, and they will give you a list of American Dental Association dentists and Wisconsin Dental Association dentists in your area that are very, very reputable. So that those are a couple good ways. But, boy, for me personally, there's nothing like having a friend or family give me a good recommendation. And I love following up on those.
Yeah. Sheila, thank you for calling. Louise in Elkhart Lake, we go to you. Hi, Louise.
Good afternoon, Larry and Doctor. I have a question for you about lichen planus. I've probably been diagnosed with it over 30 years ago, and it's really starting to act up. When I go to the dentist, and I do get cleanings three times a year, I hear, my, that's really bad. I bet that really hurts. And that's about as far as they ever go with treating it. And I'm wondering if there's anything out there medication-wise, or, I mean, I floss, I brush, and I've stopped using my water pick because it's just too painful. But what do you recommend?
And first, maybe talk about, Dr. Reed, what is lichen planus?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Luis, lichen planus, boy, not an uncommon condition we see in people. What I will tell you is it's first and foremost an autoimmune condition that manifests as white lacy patches either on the cheeks or sometimes the gum tissue. There is a condition called erosive lichen planus. And those we get a little bit more concerned about because, quite frankly, those ulcerative lesions can sometimes be pre-malignant. And so they can be precancerous. So we do get concerned about lichen planus. Unfortunately, there are not a lot of good options as far as medications. The one medication that is somewhat successful is a topical steroid. And you can put a topical steroid on those lichen planus lesions, and that can help with some of your symptoms, some of the burning, some of the discomfort. And it does minimize how erosive that lichen planus can be sometimes. So I hope that helps a little bit.
Yeah, Louise, thank you for calling. Norman called, couldn't stay with us, but what do you think about the 2-in-1 toothbrush that has an interdental brush and a normal toothbrush? Can you use that instead of flossing?
Again, there is nothing that's going to get in between your teeth better than floss. I like those interdental toothbrushes, quite frankly. Again, if it's between not flossing and using the interdental toothbrush, sure, that's a great adjunct. But again, it's not a substitute for flossing.
Let's go to Louise in Albany next. Hi, Louise.
Hi. I have a 27-year-old daughter who has high-functioning Down syndrome, and I have a hard time finding a dentist who will take, obviously, her Medicare and Medicaid. And there's the list you can go off of that they provide, but I've had some very bad experiences when she was younger, and so don't feel comfortable, you know, just going off a list. She got kicked off at 21 from her the one she was seeing as a child, and so since then we've really struggled finding anybody who will accept the insurance. Any recommendations?
Yeah, Louise, boy, that is a challenge in Wisconsin right now. And it's certainly a challenge that we at the Wisconsin Dental Association are addressing. We would love to see some reimbursement rates from Medicaid that make it more doable for all practitioners to see daughters just like yours. It certainly is a challenge. One of the places that people used to go to, frankly, was the general practice residency that was at Meritor Hospital. And that was a fantastic facility for folks with special needs and folks who had Medicaid benefits. I will tell you, one of the other places you can look at is Marquette University School of Dentistry, and that would be a wonderful option, too. Additionally, many communities have federally qualified healthcare centers with dental offices in them, FQHCs with dental offices in them. I would also explore that potential option, okay? But, yeah, that is definitely a real struggle for folks.
Yeah, and we also had an email from Michelle, kind of along the same line, her adult sister, severely autistic, and they're struggling to find anyone who will do dental care for her, not only the Medicare, Medicaid, but also someone to work on someone who is severely autistic.
Yeah, some folks are so developmentally disabled, they have to be sedated and brought into an operating room type situation. Again, that's where I would look at more of a resource like Marquette. Just a very difficult situation to navigate.
So Marquette University Dental School.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Bob in Fitchburg, we'll go to you. Hi, Bob.
Hi, good afternoon. So a while back, I had some a new crown put onto a second from the back molar. And over a period of maybe a year and a half, that tooth and the last molar have moved apart from each other. And I've developed a fairly large gap there, and it's really become troublesome because anytime I eat anything, food gets trapped in there. And I'm wondering if there are any suggestions for solutions for that kind of a situation.
Yeah, absolutely, Bob. This is something this is an incredibly frustrating situation for dentists because teeth can move. It's not uncommon. It's happened to me after I've placed new crowns that the teeth can shift apart, and then you start to trap a tremendous amount of food in between those teeth. The problem there is you can get decay underneath that crown because you're not able to keep it clean. So I'll tell you what I do with my patients who develop that. Quite frankly, I remake the crown. That might not be what your dentist wants to do, and perhaps they have another solution for you. But more often than not, I'll end up taking that old crown off and remaking the crown. Otherwise, you are going to have some problems as you pack food in between those teeth.
Bob, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Mike from Sun Prairie emailed us. First, does regular whitening of your teeth remove enamel and weaken the teeth? And there's been lots of advertisement about using hydroxyapatite is kind of a way of looking is what I have here on my screen to remineralize your teeth. Is there truth to that, and what would be the best brand?
Yeah, let's address the hydroxyapatite first there, Larry. Absolutely. Hydroxyapatite is fantastic for remineralizing the enamel on your teeth. It's very effective, much like fluoride, and is very beneficial. I don't have a specific brand in mind as far as recommending for hydroxyapatite, but it is effective. And yeah, tell Mike he can certainly use that, or if Mike's listening, he can certainly use that. The second question about whitening products, I'm very cautious with whitening products. I, in particular, like two systems. For an over-the-counter system, I like the Crest whitening strips. Those are very, very effective. They give you a good result, and they are 100% safe on your teeth. So that's the one over-the-counter system I like. And then, if you want to take it a step further, there are prescription whitening trays that your dentist can make for you. And again, those are safe and effective. As far as being destructive against enamel, neither of those two systems is detrimental to your teeth. That said, I have seen some over-the-counter systems that are a bit acidic and can be a little destructive of enamel. So a couple things. A, I would look for the American Dental Association seal of approval. Certainly, if it has been through the rigorous testing at the American Dental Association and it has the ADA seal of approval, rest assured it's going to be safe for you. And then the other option is, yeah, talk to your dental professional and see what they have to say. But those are the two systems I use for teeth whitening, and both are very safe for teeth.
Dr. Tom Reed, our guest, president of the Wisconsin Dental Association. If you have a question for him, you can join in. We'll get you on pretty quickly. The number to call, 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Thanks for joining in here on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. Just a quick note, our next book club novel is titled Bridgeton, and it's written by Michael Nodler. The story follows three childhood friends who always find a way to come back and visit their hometown, and it's set in Wisconsin. I've been reading. I just started a few chapters in, and I'm really enjoying it. And I'll be talking with you, with the author and with you about it on June 19th. So if you haven't picked up a copy of Bridgeton, do so and join in the conversation on June 19th. Right now, talking about your teeth with our guest, Dr. Tom Reed. It's great to have him with us. Nora emailed us, Dr. Reed. She switched from using Listerine to using salt water, and she puts it in her water pick. Last time her teeth were checked, the gums were perfect and her pockets were better. Could the salt water be beneficial?
There are times that I recommend salt water. Some folks will tell me that Listerine burns a little too much. It has that medicinal strength to it, and that's part of why it's working, because you do feel that little bit of burn. But salt water is absolutely acceptable. Yeah, so that Nora is on the right track there, absolutely.
Another emailer wants to know, should we change our dental care as we age?
You know, if you are doing very well with your brushing and flossing, and you're not seeing an increase in either gum disease or cavities, I don't know that it's necessarily age-dependent. What I will say is we do see some needs change as we age, especially if you do have gum disease and we see a little bit of recession with the teeth. We start to see what are called root cavities, and those can be very problematic. The other thing as we age is oftentimes we're put on more medications. We're put on more prescriptions, which can cause dry mouth. And if you start seeing more dry mouth, then we eventually start seeing more cavities. So it's not necessarily a function of aging specifically, but more of a symptom of some of the other conditions that come along with aging, whether it's a change in prescriptions or a change in your gum health. It's interesting, as we were listening there at the commercial break, Larry, I heard Hoy Apothecary as one of your sponsors. I've known Kevin Hoy for many, many years. He's actually about a half mile from my office. For some older folks who are looking for a wonderful pharmacy for their dental health needs, boy, I would definitely recommend that you visit Kevin down the road. He's fantastic, and I'll give him a plug here that he didn't pay for on your show. But it is very dental specific, because he is. He's great at helping us compound some different dental needs, medications for dental needs. So, yeah, I'll get that in.
Okay. Here's another question from somebody who's trying to remember. When the hygienist checks for pockets, do they take the measurements? And I'm trying to think about this now. They use something, it's almost like, it feels like a little needle hitting your gums. Do they take them from the front of your teeth or the backside of your teeth?
they will do both. So essentially what we're doing, and again, I'll tell you what I do in my office. Once a year, I require all of my patients to have what's called a periodontal charting done. And what that periodontal charting is checking for is how healthy are your gums and how healthy is the bone that is holding your teeth in place. They take that probe and they will go around and actually for every single tooth, they will do six separate measurements. There are three on the front and then three on the back. So they will do the front side of the tooth on its most posterior or most rear position. They'll do a measurement in the center, and then they'll do a measurement on the front. And then they'll replicate those then on the tongue side as well. So there are actually six separate measurements they're taking.
Wow, I didn't realize that when I was having it done. I didn't realize there were six. But it doesn't hurt, and it's good if you're not getting any blood. I know that for sure.
That is true. The other thing you want to listen for is that those measurements are between 1 and 3 millimeters. So those are those numbers those hygienists are either reading to their computer or reading for someone else to chart for you. They'll say 1, 2, 2, 3, 1. As long as those measurements are between 1 and 3 millimeters, that indicates to me that you have healthy teeth.
Let's take a question from Anton in Eau Claire. Hi, Anton.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question about my concerns about dental cost. A couple of weeks ago, I went to my dentist. I had a cleaning, an exam, and the full circle of pictures, and I paid $490. And I had asked about insurance being on Medicare, but the dentist wouldn't take that. And during that visit, even though my measurements are very good, I was told I really should come in more often than twice a year, preferably four times, and have maybe two exams. And I went home and I did some calculations that would cost me almost $1,700 a year. I can afford that, but I'm thinking so many people, I hear you say you need to go to the dentist maybe even three times a year. But there are so many people who couldn't possibly afford that. And I'm really concerned about so many young dentists building fantastic new practices, all glass and very beautiful. And you know that somebody has to pay for that.
Pay for it, yeah. Dr. Reed?
Yeah, so Anton, I recognize the struggle there. One of the reasons you may be being told that you need to see your dentist more often, it could be as if you have diabetes or heart disease or some underlying conditions that we know can make gum disease worse and in turn sometimes make those other underlying conditions worse. So I don't know your particular case, and you don't need to share that, but that might be one of the reasons you're being recommended to go more often. One of the solutions that the Wisconsin Dental Association is addressing is the cost of dental insurance or is the cost of dental care. So what we rolled out, it was about a year and a half ago, was the Wisconsin Dental Savings Club. And what that Wisconsin Dental Savings Club is a discounted fee structure so that it enables people like you, Anton, or like you say, some folks that struggle with seeking dental care and don't have a third-party payer involved or don't have insurance involved, they can go to WDA.org and actually look up our savings club plan. I'm pretty sure we have quite a few providers in the Eau Claire area that would be more than happy to see folks like you or other folks that are struggling to seek out dental care. But yeah, check out the WDA Savings Club. It's really a unique program. It's forward thinking, and it really helps folks address the cost of some dental care.
All right. Anton, thank you for calling. Marcy in Fond du Lac, your turn. Hi, Marcy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, tonsillitis. What causes them, and what can you do to prevent them?
Tonsillitis?
Tonsillitis.
Oh, tonsillitis.
Yeah, so Marcy, tonsil lifts or tonsil stones, as some people will call them, tonsil stones. Essentially, it's an accumulation of food in the crypts of your tonsils that sits there, and they get rather, they're not overly pleasant for some folks. Like, one of the things you can do is obviously you can remove them. But you be extraordinarily careful with your when you're doing that. You don't want to damage the back of your throat. You don't want to damage your tonsil. The other thing you can do is gargle. Certainly doing a little rinse with either we've already brought up salt water. We've already brought up Listerine. Those two things can be extraordinarily helpful. But some people are just more prone to them than others. And typically it's based on the anatomy of your tonsils. And if you have tonsils that have deeper crevices or deeper grooves, you're a little bit more prone to those tonsil lifts or tonsil stones.
Victor, Marcy, thank you for calling. Victor sent us a question. What are the best methods for coffee and wine stain removal, both at home and the dentist? I think this goes back to your earlier comments about tooth whitening, perhaps.
Yeah, it sure does. So as I mentioned, those crest whitening strips are fantastic, as are any professional prescription strength bleaching or tooth whitening that you can do at your dentist office. The other thing to consider is after consuming coffee or wine, do a little water rinse afterwards and just really reduce those stains that are present in your mouth and on the teeth, and just doing something as simple as chasing coffee or wine with a little bit of water can help prevent some of that staining.
Jenny in Verona, we'll go to you now. Hi, Jenny.
Hi. I was wondering what the doctor thinks about Xylomelt.
Yeah, let's talk about Xylomelt. They are absolutely fantastic. So I brought up having dry mouth. And I assume that's what you're kind of talking about, those Xylomelts. Xylomelts are composed of an alcohol called xylitol. And what we know about xylitol is it helps fight cavities. We also know that it helps fight dry mouth or xerostomia. So these Xylomelts are these little tablets that you can put in your cheek. I'm almost positive you can get them on Amazon. I certainly have samples here in my office that I will give patients who suffer from dry mouth, and I think they're absolutely fantastic. They're very, very helpful for folks who suffer from dry mouth.
Would that apply as well to, like, if you're drinking sweet liquids, it's summertime, lemonade, that sort of thing? Would that help also in terms of, you know, protecting your teeth?
Yeah, xylitol can be found in gum, and you can certainly chew a xylitol gum. And yes, that does help prevent cavities. Xylitol is a wonderful anti-cariogenic component.
Jenny, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And here we are, out of time. I want to Dr. Tom Reed, thank you so much. Would you come back and be with us again? I'd love to have you back.
Larry, I'd love to. I feel like we just got started.
I have a whole list of questions here in front of me, and I know there were other people who didn't make it on the air. But thank you so much, and let's do it again. Appreciate it very much.
Sounds good, my friend. Have a great day.
Dr. Tom Reed, president of the Wisconsin Dental Association, and he practices at East Grove Dental in Madison. Great to have him with us. And thank you for joining us today. And thanks to our team for creating our shows every day. Clara Neipert, Joel Patnod, Lee Rayburn, and Jeff Robbins. Our executive producer, Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller, and I certainly want to thank you for listening. And I want you to stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.